Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's been a while since Up, the network devoted to uplifting entertainment, has made some noise with an original scripted series. Well, they're making noise, they are, tonight with Date My Dad. Head of production Barbara Fisher joins me next. Just when you thought Steve Harvey couldn't make time for another primetime series, he does. That series is Thunderdome, Sunday night on ABC, where the studio audience plays benefactor for new ventures. We'll hear all about this new Harvey show from executive producer Barry Kosmick next half hour. Also ahead, the return of TRL, Fall In at the CW, and yes, it's over for Sense 8. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Great to have you aboard on this Friday afternoon of the program All About Television. And as Mr. Harvey would say, we got a great one for you. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, if you have a question or comment for any of our guests in the hour ahead, just raise the voice and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is up and in business. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com, and we invite you to get into the room. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 79 degrees at the top of the hour. Barbara Fisher from Up is live from Los Angeles with us after these news notes. One of MTV's landmark series is making a comeback this fall. Total Request Live, the weekday afternoon mix of live performances, videos, interviews, and fan interaction with top and up-and-coming music stars alike, will return. Viacom Senior Vice President Deborah Brett broke the news during a fireside chat yesterday at Cablefax's annual TV Innovation Summit in New York. Brett added that TRL 2.0 will incorporate various social media platforms into its format, and once again invite fans to congregate outside MTV's headquarters near Times Square. TRL originally played on MTV from 1998 to 2008, hosted by Carson Daly and then later by Damian Bailey. Protests of Netflix's decision last month to cancel Sense 8 after two seasons have replied to their request for reconsideration. The decision stands. In a Facebook-posted letter, Netflix said, and I quote, "We've thought long and hard here to try and make it work, but unfortunately, we can't." The CW will get its 2017-18 season underway the week of October 9th. Premiere week will include the debuts of military drama Valor on October 9th and the reboot of Dynasty two nights later. And finally, Lonesome Dove co-star Glenn Headley has passed away. No cause of death was reported. Headley won an Emmy nomination for that performance in 1989 and went on to co-star in such films as Dick Tracy, playing Tess Trueheart, Dick Tracy's girlfriend opposite Warren Beatty, and Mr. Holland's Office as wife to Oscar nomination for that performance, Richard Dreyfuss. In recent weeks, she was filming Hulu's new series, Future Man. Headley was 63. And that's news notes for today. As mentioned at the top, it has been a while since Up, the Uplifting Entertainment Network, has come through with a new original series, scripted-wise. Now they have. It premiered last Friday night, and it's called Date My Dad. It's on tonight for episode 2 at 9 p.m. Joining us live, an inter-radio exclusive from Los Angeles, the head of production for Up, great to have her back, Barbara Fisher. Hi, Barbara. Welcome back.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So what led you to make Date My Dad your latest venture into scripted TV?
Well, you know, we have kind of changed the network a little bit over the years, Simon. We had a big change when we acquired Gilmore Girls and Parenthood. We did what I think most television networks, at least in my experience, have never done. We aged down 10 years. I think we became more relevant. I think we became more relatable and more current. And so, obviously, we wanted to follow that great success up with an original of our own. And we came up with the tagline for the whole network is We Get Family. And to put it real succinctly, our network is all about families and the fun and the dysfunction that goes along with them. And that's what this show is. It's a real mixture of heart, pathos, and humor. I like to say that if Parenthood and Gilmore Girls had a television baby, it would be Date My Dad, which is really a wonderful family show about a single dad who had the perfect life. He was a former professional baseball player, married to Isabella, the love of his life, but his world came crashing down when she passed away, and that left him to raise three daughters alone. With the help of his mother-in-law, played by Raquel Welch. Ricky's played by Barry Watson. And now it's his 40th birthday when we start our series, and Raquel's character, Rosa, decides it's time for her to move out and let him be a full-time dad. And the daughters say it's time for him to start dating, and he is just overwhelmed by all of it.
Was this a situation where Nina Coleman, the creator of the series, came to you, or you found this somehow, some way?
It was interesting, Simon. This doesn't happen very often. Dan Angel is the exec producer, and he's an old friend of mine. We've made many things together when I was at Hallmark and other networks. And he brought me, it was a half-hour comedy that Nina had written for The Hub. And then when The Hub went away, they sent it to me, and I said, guys, we're doing hours, not half hours, but of course I'd love to read it. Well, I was so taken by it, Simon. I thought Nina's writing was that thing you look for, which is like wit and heart and smartness. And I really fell for her writing. And I called Dan up and I said, do you think we could make this into an hour? Because I'm loving it, but we have to make it less sitcom. And I had a meeting with him and Nina, and she had fabulous ideas, and that's how it started. So we turned it into an hour.
Mm-hmm. Along the way, how did you determine how the idea of the show would go from what originally started, going from comedy half hour to drama hour? Was it a very quick metamorphosis, or did it take some time and some doing?
Well, you know what was interesting? It wasn't quick, but it wasn't agonizing either. We kind of embraced the comedy. We had a lot of talks internally and with the creative people in the show and said, you know, there's nothing on television these days that's a true dramedy. That really does have enough stuff to it, enough family stuff, enough meat on the bones to last an hour in storytelling, but it really lets you laugh. And, you know, the last show that I could think like that, honestly, was the show that we air, which is Gilmore Girls. So once we embraced the comedy and said it's okay to laugh, it's okay to have fun characters, and the next scene sort of tear your heart out when one of the daughters is missing their mother, that is what life is about, it wasn't as hard to adapt as I thought. I was concerned. I didn't want this to look like a half-hour stretch to do an hour. But once we embraced the lighter tone and the fact that you can laugh amidst some of life's biggest challenges, it worked, and it wasn't so hard. I think if we had pushed against that comedy, Simon, and said, oh, no, this has to be like every other drama on television, it would have been hard and maybe wouldn't have worked. But when we said we're not worried about doing something different, we think the world's in a place right now where people have to feel good. They have to feel hopeful. They have to laugh sometimes. They have to smile. Once we went there, it went very smoothly.
What about the contribution made by two of the key actors? Barry Watson, you mentioned earlier, many people may know him from Seventh Heaven, one of the longest family dramas ever in the history of television. And also Raquel Welch, who in her 70s just continues to look and be incredible.
Yeah, that's a little hard for me to see on set, if you want to know the truth. She looks amazing. You know, Barry and I had actually been friendly before this show. My husband's a director, and he had directed him in some stuff, and I had had him in a Hallmark movie, and he had done an Up movie for us, and we just kind of really bonded with him and his wife, Natasha. So we were good friends, and when this first came in, probably 2 years ago, he loves to tell everybody that we were at dinner and I pitched it terribly because I could really see him in it. And he said, Barbara, he said to me, you're really a good pitcher, but you did a lousy job. And I could tell he was going, yeah, that sounds nice, but he wasn't that excited. Then we were at a Dodger game, and the project was moving along, and I did it again. And once again, he said I didn't do the project justice. And then I sent him the script, and that was hilarious. He called me up, and he goes, "Why haven't you told me about this?" I said, "Barry, I pitched it to you twice." He goes, "The script is so phenomenal. You didn't do it justice. You did a terrible job. I am Ricky Cooper. This is my life." Well, I said to him, "We got to go through the process. I got to be honest with you. I always saw him in it, but we did go through the typical casting process and look at names and look at things and talk internally." And Barry came in and had a meeting with Nina and Dan, and they just went crazy for him. They said he understood the character so well. Barry had actually been amidst a divorce, a single dad of two boys, because his wife left to go to a job, and he was the sole dad. And then he married Natasha Gregson Wagner and had a little girl. So he felt like everything in his life spoke to him, having a daughter, being a single dad, you know, being 40, all this stuff was like him. And he was so passionate that Nina and Dan got on the bandwagon and said, "We don't see anybody in this but Barry Watson." And then everybody at Up kind of talked about it and the same way. So it was so funny that I had seen him when I first read the sitcom. And, you know, apparently I did not do the script justice, because when he read it, it was as if I'd never mentioned it to him, and he just fell in love with it. So that was just unbelievable magic. I don't want to overhype it, but it was magic. He has been the real strength of the show. And I got to tell you, I don't think – I've been doing this a long time. I don't think there are a lot of actors that can do it all. He can do it all. He is funny. He is so touching. He is sexy. He is relatable. I mean, he is just – we couldn't have asked for anyone else. And then, you know, we knew we had a very juicy role here in the mother-in-law. She was Latina. She was very sexy. She had an active dating life, but of course she was passionate about taking care of her grandchildren, her granddaughters, who had this enormous loss, and she had an enormous loss. So we needed somebody, obviously, physically to fit that sexy image, but we also needed someone who could relate to this incredible loss in her life. And when we had the first name that came into mind for everybody was Raquel, and we had a phone conversation with her. And it was mostly, I was on the phone, but mostly, honestly, it was between Raquel and Nina. And Nina was so struck by how Raquel was very in touch with who she is as sort of an icon. And she said, "You know, Nina, I don't mind playing someone sexy, and I think it's really funny, your script about her dating life, but I don't want to be a joke. I don't want to be a one-dimensional character. I don't want to be, you know, that Raquel Welch joke. I think this character is much more than that." And you can only imagine a writer's dream to hear an actress say that. And Nina said, "I absolutely agree. She is wise. She is caring. But she's not just a sex symbol by any stretch." So that after that phone call, obviously we were all in. Raquel told us that it was the best script she'd ever read, light script that she'd ever read that had been sent to her, and she's never been sent to anything like this that was so warm and funny. So she was all in. And it is a little intimidating, Simon, to be on set with her at 76, and it takes your breath away a moment when she walks in the room. She is stunning, and it's quite amazing. But she has really taken to this role, and she said, you know, what a lot of people are saying is just that she hasn't seen anything like this on television in so many years, and she's so proud to be a part of it. So that worked out pretty wonderful, too. And then I just want to speak to the three girls in it, who nobody will know by name, but I hope they will eventually. They're three Canadian actresses, and we did a reading. We did auditions, and we found we loved all of them. But then Barry was so fabulous. He said, "If they're going to play my daughters, I am flying in, and I'm going to read with them." And to his credit, that made all the difference. And we found exactly, I think, the right girls, because, you know, you can be great, but then when we put them in the situation to read with Barry, everything changed. So I just feel like we really lucked out with this cast. Really excited about them.
And those three girls, by the way, are Zinnia Marie Marshall, Lila Fitzgerald, and Audrey Smallman. And they, with Barry Watson
right.
and Raquel Welch, all involved with Date My Dad. It's Up first original scripted series in a couple of years, and you can find it tonight with episode 2 at 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time. We're speaking live from Los Angeles with the head of production for Barbara Fisher, formerly with Lifetime, with Hallmark Channel, other things too as well. And we're glad to have her with us live this half hour right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I'm Apple Van with you from Nueva York. Good to have you aboard this Friday afternoon. You have a question or comment for Barbara? Give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We welcome our learned friend Rip Webb into the room. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, it had to happen. Emojis as the subject of a game show. And that's what's taking place next week on GSN with the premiere of Emo Genius. And it has a very interesting twist. The son of one of the classic game show hosts of the 1950s is the host, and he's the youngest game show ever. Game show host, I should say, ever. The two people from Idiot Test that made it happen are Craig Brooks and Larry Barron, and they'll both be with me live, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Barbara, now the show's been on for about a week. What's been the audience reaction?
Really strong. We're very, very pleased. Not only did it do a strong premiere, but it's been growing already in the repeat. And our L3 numbers were really good and sort of doubled. So we're cautiously excited. How's that? Like anybody, you know, television, I always say television is not for the faint of heart. And, you know, you just never know. And it's not easy, as you know, to launch a show. And it's not easy to launch a new show. As you said, it's our first and only, it's our only scripted series right now. We've got some very successful unscripted. And we think that it's so perfect for our audience. But, you know, it's challenging. You know, we want the people coming to watch Gilmore Girls and Bringing Up Bates and all that to stay. So we're tamping down our excitement, but we're pretty excited about it. And the reviews have been amazing. We got a New York Times review. And we've gotten a lot of people wanting to talk to Raquel and Barry. So right now we're feeling cautiously optimistic. How's that?
You got it. Barbara, one of the issues that Up has dealt with is that until a few years ago, you would showcase what the network is doing to the press here in New York through a bus that was parked outside Bryant Park.
That's right.
During what we call the upfront season. And that hasn't happened the last couple of years. And one of the issues that networks face is if they don't talk to the press or don't get public in some way in this era of plentiful scripted, plentiful unscripted, oh, so many networks all over the place on cable, broadcast, multicast, through smart TV sets and devices, the Netflix and Hulus and so forth in the world, it's very easy to fall off a radar screen. How has your network been dealing with trying to get the attention with this show, but also with other originals, as well as Gilmore Girls and Parenthood and so forth in the wake of this environment?
Well, you know, Simon, I'm not a big fan of hype, so I don't like to make gigantic statements, but I really do believe, as someone who's been doing this for 40 years and as very, you know, a student of television, I really do believe we are the only network right now with this mission of being about family and including its dysfunction and its fun and being really authentic with it. We don't think that our characters have to be perfect. We feel like our characters need to have character and that they're basically flawed, good people trying to do the right thing. And I honestly don't think that this is happening hardly at all on television, and it's certainly not happening where an entire network, that's their mission, to do shows about that. And it's not a narrow mission. You can do a ton of entertaining, interesting shows to be about family in its authentic way. And so I do think that we are unique, and we have a really great story to tell, because talk to anybody out there, whether it's just informally or with your family or in a research group, and they're all saying the world is so tough right now, and I'm watching CNN, I'm watching MSNBC, and I want to sit back and be entertained and feel hopeful and feel promise and feel like I want to smile, I want to be touched. You know, I think we all are marveling at the success of This Is Us on NBC. And I applaud that show, and I applaud what they're doing. That's one show on one network. That sort of is what our entire network's about. So I think it's a pretty good story. And like I said, Simon, I'm not a big believer in hype, but I do think that we want to get out there and say to people, this really is kind of special. We're not a network just doing happily ever after with a bow tied up. We're talking about the challenges that all of you face raising a family, and all of you face as a sister or a brother or a father. And we even think that workplaces are families. Sometimes that's the family for people. Sometimes that world is your family. So I think being a network committed to that is kind of special and unique. And we also, as I said to you, have a real story to tell of growth and changing the visuals of the network. The network just looks great. Amy Winter came in as our general manager, and she's got a lot of experience in a lot of things, but she has a great creative eye, and she changed the colors and the logo and the tagline. And I just feel like we're more current and more relatable. So, and as I said, I mean, you know this, Simon, aging down 10 years shows that you're connecting with a wider group of people, and that just doesn't happen. So I don't mean to go on, but I do think we have a great story. So we're doing the best we can as a small network to get out there. I'm out there all the time, whether it's talking to press or going to ad sale presentations, and Amy is, and Charlie Humbard, our founder and CEO, is, and Timothy Kuriak, who does our Unscripted, is. So we're trying. I mean, I'm sure we can do better, and we're not going to stop because we're actually sincerely excited about it. Amy once said to us, if you're not excited about the show, it's gonna show. So let's not do anything that none of us are excited about. And that's pretty cool to have somebody say that. And we are excited about what we're doing, about the mission of the show, and really excited about this new show. It's kind of the big news for us, Date My Dad.
Yeah. When it comes to originals from here, Barbara, where does the network go? At one point, Up was known for a great series of made-for-TV movies, including one that I was a big fan of called Comeback Dad, which I thought Charles Dutton should have been given an Emmy nomination for his work on that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Done work
I love that, too. Just a side note, Simon, Comeback Dad, you're right, was wonderful, and that was a result of the American Black Film Festival. It was a contest winner. So that was especially cool that this was an unproduced writer who wrote that. But you're right, you know, and you know that I have a rich history in television movies, and I love them. But I do think that we made the right move with being a smaller network with a little bit more limited resources than bigger networks. We're focusing on series. But I'll tell you, to the place we want to get to and we're building to is being in movies, scripted drama, and unscripted. That's where we're moving to. We want to be a full entertainment network. And if you have this mission about We Get Families, there's so many ways to express it. So I think it would be a shame, frankly, for us not to be in all genres. But that said, our focus right now is on series. We are very much in the Christmas business, so we are doing original Christmas movies. Like a lot of our competitors, Christmas is a phenomenal time of the year for us, and you can imagine if your mission is We Get Families, you can't not be there for the biggest holiday season. So we do original movies around that year. We're also doing something kind of special. We had three Amish-themed movies that just did gangbusters for us. I think there's an endless fascination with the Amish, but also it was this incredible contrast of the modern world set against the Amish world and the pros and cons of this life we're all living. So because that did so well, we turned to the same producers, and we're doing an Amish trilogy movie. So we're starting next week in Kentucky on our very first one, and we're going to have continuing characters and do two more movies. So we're not out of the movie business. It's just not been in the numbers that it was before, and we're trying to find, and I know this is a tired term, but a little bit more event-oriented stuff right now. So we're not out of the movie business. We are focusing on series, but we have these special holiday movies and our Amish trilogy still in production. And one other thing I just want to mention that's coming up the end of August, we did our first sort of family disaster movie with Catherine Bell. And we think that could be an incredible franchise for us of movies. If you remember, there was times when those movies just did gangbusters. They're so entertaining and riveting, and families sort of helping themselves out of these disaster situations. And we're kind of bringing it back. Catherine, it was called High Rise Rescue, and Catherine Bell stars as an architect whose family lives in a building she designed, and it's on fire. And she joins with a firefighter to save her her family, and it's bigger than anything we have ever done. Huge special effects, really exciting. So we're going to see how that does, but that may be a new umbrella of movies for us.
You mentioned before we go, Barbara, that you have been involved, your network was involved with the American Black Film Festival in terms of finding new writers or new directors, people of color in particular, or women of color.
Right.
Are you looking at a new relationship, let's say, with any of the television festivals that are now around the country, whether it is the New York Television Festival, ITDA, etc.?
Yeah, we were at Gina Davis's Bentonville Festival, which encourages women filmmakers. I'm so glad you brought this up, Simon, because, again, I'm going to toot our horn just a little bit. We are committed to diversity in our air. I have I don't have a lot in development because, as I said, we're very cautious about how much money you spend in development. But I have two series that are African-American cast and African-American stars. I think that is unusual. We strive for diversity in everything we do. We are trying to get more minorities and women behind the camera, in front of the camera. We don't do a lot, so it may not be as noticeable to people, but it is something that we are very committed to. And we did get involved in Bentonville, and I think we're going to stay involved in that. And we're not involved in any other film festivals, but we're open to it. It's hard with a limited number of resources to promise producing all these things, but we have, as you mentioned, Come Back Dad, we have had some tremendous movies that came out of the American Black Film Festival. And it's just something I'm really passionate about and really proud of, that this network is very conscious of diversity and making the world, if we're gonna be about families, we need to show families as they really are in all shapes and sizes. And otherwise we're not completing our mission.
Day My Dad, it's Up's latest effort with original scripted television. Episode 2 of that series is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where Up is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, go to uptv.com. That's uptv.com. And once again, Date My Dad with Barry Watson and Raquel Welch and a great cast. It's tonight, Episode 2, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Up, the Uplifting Entertainment Network. Barbara Fisher, the head of production for Up, it's great to have you back. I wish we had more time. We want to have you back, and certainly as the upcoming original projects get going, we'd love to have the producers of those shows on, and it's been a delightful pleasure to have you this half hour.
Thank you, Simon. I always love talking to you, and I really appreciate you showcasing networks like ours, and I hope that people will tune in to Date My Dad because I really feel they won't be disappointed. So thanks so much for having me, Simon.
You're very welcome, Barbara. It is a pleasure. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. You too.
Barbara Fisher, the head of production for Up, joining us live from Los Angeles. We have more from Up televised ahead, but first, some fine words from the people at Audible.com. You know, Kevin Hart has been a very, very busy person lately on the comedy scene in movies. He's working also on a new series for BET, and he's got a very interesting audiobook out that you can get with a trial run at audible.com. It's called I Can't Make This Up, and he actually narrates it. And you can get it right now if you get a 3-day trial to audible.com. Find out for yourself why audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. With over 108,000 titles to choose from, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up for a 30-day trial, you get one free audiobook like Kevin Hart's latest tome or something else that you like in any category, and you get a wonderful 30-day trial run. Plus, great customer service from the fine folks at Amazon.com who run Audible.com. So find out for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. AudibleTrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. You are listening to Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about the two. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And next Friday on the program, among our guests, we'll hear from two television veterans who recently formed their own enterprise. It's called Toy Rocket. They did it with the Pop Sugar folks, and they're working on back-to-producing projects, including an interesting, unique anthology series about women and technology. We'll hear from Jane Newton and Tom Huffman. They'll join us live next Friday, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. And a week from Monday, we'll hear from the hosts and designers of a new original series on Discovery Family Channel called Reno Set Go. That's next Monday, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. When we come back, the new head of Unscripted Television at MGM is with us. We've had him on before, and he's having a big summer. First with Jamie Foxx on Beat Shazam, and on Sunday night, Steve Harvey's latest new series, Thunderdome, premieres on ABC. Barry Cosby joins us live in an internet radio exclusive after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. It's your home for V2 Radio with Anya. It's unique radio that gets you the opportunity to speak out against abuse. Check it out this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, the best of V2 is available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tamavi Televised on this Friday afternoon in June of 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. And as always, we invite you to be part of the program. So simple. Pick up the phone, use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Summers of late have become big times of the year for Steve Harvey. 2 years ago, bringing Celebrity Family Feud to ABC. Last year, bringing Little Big Shots to NBC. And this year, starting Sunday night, Thunderdome. It's his first Shark Tank. But in this one, it's the studio audience that gets to help the entrepreneurs live out their dreams, maybe for a lot of prize money that could put them on the scene. My next guest is not only the executive producer of that series, he's also the executive producer of Beat Shazam, the new hit game show Thursday nights on Fox with Jamie Foxx as the host, and he is also the unscripted television chief at MGM. Joining us live in an area exclusive, Barry Kosnick. Barry, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Simon?
Great, thank you. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm actually in rainy Miami, Florida. We are shooting the iHeartRadio Summer Kickoff, which is a two-day music and celebrity film event, but it is pouring.
Well, Sunday night, you've got your latest show coming up, and that's Steve Harvey's Thunderdome. How did it happen, given everything that Steve Harvey does these days?
It was an amazing show to shoot. Squeezing it in between all of his other commitments was a challenge in and of itself, but well worth it. Because it's tapped into so many things that Steve does so well, because obviously it's comedic, like everything he does. But it was really lifting people up. Little ideas can turn into big business. And we wanted to do a show that was not like Shark Tank, which is obviously a show that we do at MGM and we love it, and that helps people who already have a business up and running. But this show, Thunderdome, focuses on getting funding to the real little guy, the guy whose business or girl's business is maybe just be an idea in their head. Maybe they only have a sketch on a napkin of what they want their product to be. And they come to the Thunderdome to try to win over the funding from the crowd. And so each round we have a different cash amount that's up for grabs, and two different inventors come in. They each pitch to the crowd, and the crowd decides. They vote, and then Steve awards the money. And it's Steve's business experience in turning his brand into a billion-dollar brand. He really helps mentor them in a very fun way that only Steve could do. So when the idea was first developed, Mark Burnett, my boss, was like, we have to get Steve Harvey. That's it. We have to get him. And Steve loved the idea but didn't have the time. And Mark just said, we will work around your schedule. We will make it work. And we did. And so excited. We shot it a few months ago, so I'm excited for it to finally be airing this Sunday.
What was it like to work with Steve Harvey? I mean, this is somebody that is on one of the most incredible roles in television that anybody has had in recent years, with Family Feud and Celebrity Family Feud and Little Big Shots. And let's not forget, there's also a spinoff for Every Young that's coming up on NBC in 2 weeks. How did he manage that time? And it just seems that he has this incredible ability to relate to people no matter what kind of show he does whether it is a Showtime at the Apollo or a game show like Family Feud or something like this program or a talent show like Big Shots?
Yep. I think truly it is he picks the right projects, so he puts himself in the position to be entertaining and talking to the people that he's genuinely interested in, and that's you know, a skill in and of itself is picking the right project. So I think he sets himself up to be genuinely interested and engaged in the subject matter. But what he also has the ability to do is poke fun at himself, use his own life stories to make other people laugh and feel good. And he's amazing. It really was great to work with him and watch how he works, because just over the years, they have their own brand and experience and way of doing things. So I always like to follow their lead and learn from them. And with Steve, he is very smart in that he travels with his team, and not like a team that hangs out with him, meaning his stage managers, his writers, his right-hand man and his partner is a guy named Gerald Washington. Fantastic. And so when they come into the show, they're coming in very, very prepared, and they have all the people that they need in place, as opposed to a lot of times you just hire a host and they show up, they're meeting everybody new for the first time. So it's a very smart way of doing business, and I think it's why they're able to do so many shows at the same time, because while we were shooting, we would shoot Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday he would wake up and do his radio show, then do his talk show, then do the talk show all week, then come back to us on Friday to continue shooting again. So it's pretty impressive, and his stamina is insane.
Steve Harvey's From the Dome is the newest show from Mr. H, and it premieres this Sunday night at 9 p.m. on ABC as the second half of a doubleheader with Mr. H, because at 8 o'clock, the new season of Celebrity Family Feud, Season 3, premieres. We're with Barry Klotnick, the executive producer of From the Dome. He is also the head of unscripted television at Metro Goldwyn Mayer, which also produces Beat Shazam, the new hit series with Jamie Foxx on Thursday nights. And we'll talk about that with Barry a little bit later on, too. He joins us live from Miami, Florida this half hour, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum up the coast from Barry here in New York, 79 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment from Barry, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's available on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, in the room. Coming Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, a new game show comes out next week on GFS called Emo Genius, and it has the youngest game show host in the business. He is also the son of one of the classic game show hosts of the 1950s. We'll let that next little classic trivia question, by the way. We'll have to figure out who it is. But on Monday, we got the two people from Idiot Test who made this show happen. And they are Craig Brooks and Larry Barron. They're with us live right here next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Barry, how did you find the inventors and entrepreneurs that are going to be on Thunderdome?
It was really interesting because casting was very different than casting a lot of other reality shows. And so the outreach was through a lot of small-town community outreach through churches and schools, because we were really looking for people that that $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 would be life-changing for them, right? We wanted people who we could really help them get their business off the ground and their idea into the marketplace. And so we didn't want to go through the typical avenues of finding products that already existed, but we wanted to find the ones that didn't exist yet. And so it was an amazing search. We did a cross-country search, and I mean, obviously, as you can imagine, thousands and thousands of people turned out. And weeding through them all was tricky because we wanted to also feature products that could that seemed like things that could become the next big thing. And that solves simple everyday problems. I mean, one of my favorite ones, the minute we heard the pitch, we loved, was a girl who had a product called Sorigami, like origami, but Sorigami. And Sorigami was a armrest divider for the airplane. So when you're fighting over or a movie theater, any place you have to share an armrest with a stranger, it was sort of an armrest divider. And it was called Sorigami because it folds up like an origami. It's like a piece of cardboard that fits over. Anyway, the minute we saw it, you know, we knew A, it was a great idea because it was a very relatable problem, and we knew that Steve would have a great time with it. And she was an awesome personality and presenter, and the story of how she came up with it and her plans for it were all so exciting that it, you know, made for a great pitch and a great segment of the show. And I think we liked, you know, it was picking the people that had the right personality, but also how to have the right product that we believed in as well. And what's cool about most of the products featured on our show that got funding from our show will be for sale on Amazon right when it airs on the show. So when you're watching it, if you see something you like, you just click on it on Amazon, and then you get it the next day. So it's really a really cool interactive element.
And incidentally, Barry, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, and if you have either Apple TV or Amazon Fire TV, either on your TV set or as a streaming stick or plug-in, you can now order that merchandise as well. You can technically order that merchandise. You can order any Amazon merchandise you want through those devices on those smart TV sets. So this can be very interesting in terms of what kind of sales come out and from where. I understand GoDaddy is also involved in a couple of very interesting ways as well.
Yeah, GoDaddy is an amazing company and a perfect partner for this show because they also are trying to lift up the little guy and celebrate them and help them not just get a domain name, but build a website and build their business. And so we got to know their brand really well and work with them in a way that there's little podbuster segments that come in throughout the commercial break that feature GoDaddy helping some of our contestants form their website to launch their business. And so it's a really cool a cool way to integrate a brand because it speaks directly to their customer and it didn't feel, you know, forced in any way. Working with them was, you know, due to the natural evolution of the show and the conceit at its very core was helping these people, and so they were amazing.
Barry, at the beginning of this year, if anyone said to you, you're going to work with both Steve Harvey and Jamie Foxx, what would you have said?
I would have been like, bring it on. I love them both. I really, it is truly amazing that I get to make TV. I love it. You know, and we've talked about this before. It is such a passion. And it's, you know, the team that we work with at MGM, led by Mark, is so passionate about making television, but also having fun while we're doing it. And so all of our shows, whether it's Survivor or The Voice or the new stuff, it's all exciting and still exciting. And it's that excitement starts at the top and is really because of Mark. But then when you bring in talent like Jamie Foxx, who is a force to be reckoned with. That guy is so talented and a great example. It's so different than Steve Harvey's skill set, right? Like Steve's got his thing that he nailed. Jamie Foxx is a party waiting to happen. Every day when that guy showed up, it was go time. I mean, and you see it on the show. I mean, the reason Beat Shazam is a great premise. It's a great, fun challenge that everyone can play. But Jamie brings it to life in a way that, as you know, you could plug in a different host and they can host it. But Jamie makes it a party. And that was just an amazing experience to work with him, and I love that it is airing so quickly after we shot it, you know, premiered 2 weeks after we shot, so we're still editing the upcoming episodes, and so it's exciting kind of in real time seeing how it's connecting with the viewers, especially on social media. I mean, it's really been fun, and the fact that on that show, you can play along on the Shazam app while the show's going on, so you can see how fast you can get the songs and track it is pretty amazing.
I watched the second episode 2 weeks ago, and I was really surprised by the winning pair that won. Here were these, like, 70s women. You would, like, think, well, they may not be so hip with music of today or the last decade or so. And they just blew the other two pairs away.
Yep.
And I mean, it was, like, almost it was a slam dunk.
Yes, it was amazing. And by the way, that's, like, a great example of they were personality plus. In their audition tape, you know, to be on what we see, we don't get to see them play music at all. Part of the casting process, the producers, we only get to meet them via their interview because we're not allowed to know what songs they know and don't know. So all we pick them on is personality and the belief that they must know some stuff. So trust me, no one was more blown away than we were when they just and it was such a celebration, even in my house, where my wife and kids were watching it with me, because you couldn't believe how well they were doing, and they only missed a few songs in the whole episode, but then especially for that final song, Melissa was the one who was crushing it the whole time, and then they picked her cousin to play the final song because it was 70s, and they thought she would know it because she was a little bit older, and obviously it was a good decision, but we were in the control room freaking out, like, what are they doing? Melissa should be playing this. So they played it perfectly for themselves and for us. It was a great episode.
And in case you hear the episode, the winning song was they won, I believe, like $330,000, and I knew the song very well because I love Cat Stevens' Wild World. That was an amazing choice. However it came up, that was an amazing choice to get. And they did get the – and it is Wild World. They did play the song exactly as noted.
Totally. The thing about the show and Jeff and Wes who produce it are the way they picked all the music was just really clever, because there's something in the show for everyone. It goes from current to camp, and it's got everything in between, and it's one of the really fun shows to make. And I think the common thread, honestly, with even Beat Shazam and Thunderdome premiering in the summer, I think is that they're feel-good shows, you know, even if you notice on Beat Shazam, when one team is eliminated, the other teams high-five them and hug them, and there's a sense of festiveness and a camaraderie that exists. And the same thing on Thunderdome, because two inventors battle in each round on Thunderdome, and they go head-to-head, but they feel bad when they win, almost, because that means the other guy didn't win. And so that was something in the development process. We were like, well, how do we give something to the loser without kind of making it one of those things where everybody gets a ribbon for playing Little League, where it takes the suspense out of it. So we added an element called the cash out button, where anybody between the two inventors, if either of them feels like they're not going to get the funding from the crowd, we make them a cash offer and they could cash out. And of course, there's a little risk in that, because if you cash out and you did get the funding from the crowd, you lose out on that funding. So it depends how confident you are in your product and in your pitch. And so it made for a really fun added element in the show that I think people will really like.
Well, welcome guest 837 to our chat room. Simon Apple 04 of your name. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room and give us the call. That's, of course, area code 646-652-2906. Barry, given that you produce Thunderdome and you produce Shark Tank, which just continues to fly, the ratings get stronger on ABC, they get stronger on CNBC, weeknights all over the place. Why do you think we are seeing this splurge of entrepreneur programming, where entrepreneurs are getting the kind of showcase they've never had until Shark Tank came along and Thunderdome, and a show we'll be talking about before the end of our show called Girl Starter, which we had the producers on about a month or so ago? It just seems that we are seeing these entrepreneurs get an incredible showcase.
Yeah, I think it's a really good time for the American spirit to be celebrated in the way that the country, you know, has evolved. Like, it's really that inventive, creative mindset, the idea that that anybody can become whatever they want. And really, these shows not just celebrate those people, but actually help make it happen. You know, I was a diehard fan of Shark Tank. My whole family is, and we always watched it long before I ever became a part of it and joined the MGM team. So I always loved that show, and I think the reason it really connects with people is you're pretending to be a shark at home. You know, you're watching it along going, would I invest in that company? You're also pretending, what would I pitch? How would I behave? Whose deal would I take? How would I negotiate? And I think there's a lot of takeaway information from Shark Tank. You'll also have it on Thunderdome. And I think that takeaway is what makes these shows, gives it that added value to the viewer, because you're not wasting your time. You're having fun. You're shopping a little bit, which products would I buy? But you're also learning how to negotiate. And I think that part is, it's like a master class. You get the advice from these sharks, and it's really useful. And I think we're going to continue to see more. I think Shark Tank, is moving to Sunday nights this fall, which is going to be a big move because it's always been on Fridays. But, it has such a such a strong audience, and it's one Friday night for so long that ABC said, you know, let's graduate up to a big night that's really important to us. On Sunday nights, there's so many more people watching TV. So I'm hoping that this fall, Shark Tank will get another growth spurt because there'll be so many more people at home who can check it out, whereas on Friday night, social night for people to go out, so there's less people at home.
Mm-hmm. Barry, this is the first time we've talked to you here that you are not just doing like one show at a time. You're now heading MGM's total work in unscripted television, from Survivor to The Voice to Beach Shazam to Thunderdome. What's it been like for you to become this overseer of all of this unscripted world of television, and where is it going for you?
It's amazing, as you can imagine. It's like we have all these amazing existing shows, and then we have this new lineup of new shows, some that we're talking about now, some that are coming out that I'll hopefully be back on to promote when they start airing. It's amazing because the resources that we have at our disposal being part of MGM, it is a game changer, and it helps us get the best talent. I mean, you know, Jamie Foxx and Steve Harvey, as an example, are people that I couldn't have gotten either of them just to do one of my shows when I was an independent producer. But the power of being part of a studio enables us to get better talent and better time slots and better upgrades everything. It's like getting bumped up to first class. So it's fun, and it's a lot of work. And like I said, I'm down in Miami right now. We're doing this live concert, and you know, we still have to deal with stuff like lightning. That we've had two lightning evacuations already, and we are just starting shooting. We're going to be shooting all weekend, so I'm hoping the lightning will give us a break. But, you know, it's always something.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you now get to work with Mark Burnett full-time because he worked with you,
yeah,
of course, on Are You Smart as a Fifth Grader, on other things too, yep. But now you get to be with him full-time on all sorts of projects.
Yes, and it's great because we have an amazing development team, some of which have been in place with Mark previously. Some are new people that we brought in. And it's like I'm like a kid in a candy store every day because we develop stuff, we pitch it to Mark, we pitch it to buyers. And, you know, it's the same hustle like we were talking about with the American spirit of being on Shark Tank. That's pretty much what our daily life is in development because we're coming up with a show and then we're taking it out to the market to see if we can get someone to buy it and make a good deal for it and then manufacture it, right? And then the consumers ultimately decide. So it's sort of, you know, I've learned a lot from Shark Tank as just a fan that I apply in my pitch process. So it's sort of funny, but the Burnett of it all, you know, is he is a great leader and a great teacher and full of surprises. I'm constantly learning more about him from him. And even like as a parent, he's a great dad. Like I get parental advice, parenting advice from him on stuff with my kids or, you know, he knows a lot of stuff. He's very, so it, that part is a gift that I say to my wife often that I'm lucky that when I get up in the morning to go to work, I love where I'm going to work. I love what I get to do. And I tell my kids that all the time. That's their goal in life. That I've done. It's like, it's not about how much money you make. It's not about falling. Everything else will fall into place if you're happy and you're figuring out how to get paid for that happiness. That comes later. But just figure out what you love to do. And I'm lucky. And Mark's the same way. He loves doing it. So it's fun to team up with someone like that.
Mm-hmm. When and is the iHeart concert from Miami going to run? And then what's your schedule in terms of new projects after that?
So the iHeart, we are keeping it this weekend, and then we edit it pretty quickly, and then it will air on the Audience Network, which is the AT&T-owned channel. It will air at the end of the month. I should know it offhand. I think it's June 23rd or 24th. But it's Miley Cyrus, DJ Khaled, Nick Cannon, Tinashe, Fifth Harmony. I mean, it's amazing. So there's a concert. There's a lot of fun games. It's sort of like what Spring Break used to be for MTV. It's a big festival. We have dating games. We have dance contests. We shot a bit with Cyrus this morning where she was hilarious. It was her interviewing the old ladies and the senior citizens of Miami. And she did a really hilarious man on the street bit with them. And so it's really fun. And and I hope this will be, you know, a recurring event that we'll be doing, and that it will grow and grow, because right now this year it was a one night event. This year it'll be a two night event, as far as it'll air Friday and Saturday on two different episodes. But we hope to grow it into a week long event. So like what Spring Break became. So that would be exciting.
And by the way, Audience Network is carried on both DirecTV and also on numerous cable systems across the country. Steve Harvey's Thunderdome, Steve Harvey's newest series with MGM, and it premieres Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC, right after the season premiere, Season 3, of Celebrity Family Feud at 8. Check the web links for the ABC station in your area, and for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.abc.go.com. That's abc.go.com. And if you want more details about the show and about the contestants on Thunderdome, GoDaddy will have a website and an ongoing blog along the run of the series about how they are doing. So check GoDaddy's website and their blog about how the contestants are making out pre, at, and post their appearance on Thunderdome. Ty Posnick, great to have you with us. Congratulations on the role with MGM Now with Unscripted Television. Also, congratulations on how Beach Shazam is doing Thursday night on Fox with Jamie Foxx as the host. He does a great job with that. And all the very best to you now and down the road. It's been a pleasure again to have you back.
Likewise. Thank you, man. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome, back. Take care. Have a sensational weekend down there.
Thank you.
Barry Posnick, head of Unscripted Television, Metro Golden Mayor, joining us live from Miami, where he's doing the iHeart Music Festival down there. It'll be coming up later this month on the Audience Network. That's AT&T, DirecTV, and also on Uverse cable systems around the country. Before we go, a couple of up items, updating some of the guests and topics we've had recently. Back on May 30th, we brought you a preview of the Split Screen Festival going on this week here in New York at the IFC Center with its founder and host, Matt Zarzais, the famous TV critic. I'm happy to tell you the festival did very, very well. Went to it over the weekend, last weekend. Great, great time. Super people. Unfortunately, they had the cancellation of Underground's episode with Harriet Tubman, Aisha Hines, and Anthony Hemingway, but it went very, very well. Five of the events were sellouts, and I understand there's a good chance it's coming back again, bigger and better, next year. Congratulations to Matt and everybody involved at IFC Center in making that happen. And back on April 24th, we brought you Girl Starter. That's the organization that did a series on Friday nights at 7 on TLC. Well, last week they had the final episode, and the winning organization, it's really a threesome of girls that had a wonderful venture, is called Tolly. It's a job opportunity app for artists, and they received, for their effort, $100,000. But Staples came through with a $10,000 marketing services grant for the second place winners, and that was Full Cookies. And in addition, their Bradley's founder picked in another $10,000. So congratulations to TLC, everybody at Girl Starter, and the winning competitors. And hopefully they'll be back with another round of episodes not too far down the road. Thanks to all my guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. If you came in late on the program, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And let us know what you think about the program and where you see things going in the TV world. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. I do return emails in 24 hours. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonCWBT. However you communicate, it's appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams, Andy Toes, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, co-founders of this enterprise, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Back Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Whatever you're doing this weekend, please be safe and be great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.